Just a reminder, our podcast deals with crimes that are often violent and graphic in nature, so listener discretion is advised. So when in doubt, leave the kids out. Now, please let us take you back in time.
Hello out there, old time crime gal listeners and friends. It's Melissa here with my friend,
Shannon. Hello, everybody.
Welcome to another episode of Old Time. We're bringing it back.
Ooh, old time. Crime I like gals. Old.
Old, old, old. We have entered spooky season. Halloween is coming up.
Gotcha.
We're having a good old time. I actually rode to work with the windows down.
Something about what you just said made me want chocolate chip cookies.
Chocolate chip cookies? Chocolate chip cookies would be great.
Hot chocolate would be too. Thinking about fall weather.
I love fall weather. It's my favorite. However, I didn't tell you. I got locked out of my own house the other day. Tuesday.
Oh, no.
I had to and this is sad.
Somebody has a key. That you could have called, probably.
Well, see, here's the thing. Keys were in my pocket.
Oh.
My back door will not take the key if you lock it. Okay. We just need a new lock. I mean, that's the solution here. I'm in a backyard, and you think that should be easy for me to get out of my backyard.
Well, that's hard.
That's hard because my gate is also broken in two different places.
Oh. That's not
and it's hard to open from the inside.
Gotcha.
So while I was outside with my dog, who, by the way, escaped the fence through a hole, running around the front yard, and I could not get out my gate.
Oh, no.
I had to call my husband and put him on video phone, have him look at the log and tell me which way to push.
Did you finally get it?
But it took me a while. But it was starting to get cold, and I was like, well, someone's coming at least at 9 o'clock. I know someone can let me.
There you go. Oh, my gracious. And the dog.
Speaking of this beautiful fall weather. Yeah, meanwhile, the dog was running around like, haha, I'm out, you're not.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I'm glad you got in. So that was good.
Yeah. Not the first time it's happened.
I think I've heard that.
Yeah. And that was my phone.
Speaking of jingle bells.
Life happens.
So is this story based in like October Halloweenish, or is it just... You were just talking about that.
No, well, not really.
Okay.
It's just the time of season we're in.
Okay.
I actually looked for a story, but I didn't know. Sometimes our release dates are wonky and they don't quite happen as frequent as we want them to. So I don't have a spooky Halloween story per se, but I do have one that we want to do around Christmas, but that's another time. But we are going back.
How far back did you say?
A lot, like 1800.
Awesome.
Way back. And surprisingly, there's a lot of information on this one because the documentation was done really well and he liked to talk. So we have a lot of stuff to go over.
Cool.
So maybe
my questions will be answered.
Maybe. I still can't guarantee all of them, but most of them. So his name is Stephen D. Richards, and sometimes it's reported as Samuel D. Richards, and Samuel and Stephen to me have no... It's not like Richard, Bobby, or, you know, like they don't go together. So I don't know where the Samuel
Stephen
came
would
from.
Be Stevie or Steve-O, but yeah. Samuel, yeah, they don't know.
But anyway, so it was reported. So it's Stephen D. Richards. So we're going to call him Richards.
I mean, Mama wanted to name him Stephen, Daddy wanted to name him Samuel.
I don't know. I was almost a Sam, but I don't think I'm a Sam. I think I'm a Melissa. But anyway. He was born March 18th in 1856.
Okay.
In Wheeling. At the time, it was Virginia Territory because we're back in the 1800s, but it's West Virginia now in the area. And he moved around with his family when he was about six, so they moved, to Ohio. And his background for what he became is kind of unusual because with a lot of... He's a serial killer, spoiler alert, have horrible backgrounds or head trauma or red flags or their bad childhood or they were bad kids. And this is not the case.
Oh.
He was actually had friends, went to dances, was not awkward. People called
him
likable.
Handsome and charismatic,
which is quite the opposite of what you expect when you think about cold-blooded serial killers.
So did he have parents that were together?
He had parents that loved siblings. Him. His dad was a farmer. His mom was a Methodist. He regularly attended Sunday school. A modern forensic psychologist, Catherine Ramsland, kind of describes him as the Old West version of Ted Bundy.
Okay.
Because no one really knew what Ted Bundy had going on.
Right.
Until it finally came to light and he was caught. But he was handsome and, like, charming and...
Right, yeah.
All that stuff. So this was the Old West version of Ted Bundy. And his name is Stephen D. Richards. His mom passed away when he was a young teenager, and that's when he kind of stopped going to school. So he was going to school, not regularly, but he wasn't a bad kid, and he still did well, but then he just did odd jobs after that. And he had like 5 brothers and sister. He had a big family.
Okay.
Dad was a farmer, so he wasn't around much. So he really just kind of hung out with his mom, and when she died, that kind of why bother at that point? Like, I guess going to school, he just wanted to just do his own thing. So he started going around doing odd work as farmhands because he had that experience, and he would just travel and get paid a little bit here and there. But of course, then he started to hang around with the best of people, like, you know, bank robbers and outlaws and counterfeit money smugglers and train robbers and all that. Like, I mean, I'm pretty sure they were a fun group of guys, but it was all West, I guess.
Yes.
Well, Midwest and Ohio. But he did meet someone. When he turned 20, he met Anna Milhorn, and he became engaged to her. They never got married, but they did continue to talk and correspond even throughout the string of stuff he's going to do, which is horrible, and even after the fact. So they really, really seemed fond of each other. And in an interview, he said that he loved her about as much as he could love anybody.
Interesting.
Yes.
And tell me again about his mom. What did you say with his mom? She passed away.
She passed away. It said from unknown. He was 15.
Yeah. So that could have been.
I mean, so we'll go see an obvious trigger to what started, I think, some of this in a little bit. But he was hanging out with the rough crowd, doing a little petty theft here and there.
There had to be and, something, though.
Well, there is.
Okay.
There is. But it wasn't quite the traumatic childhood that we're used to when
normal,
we talk about stuff like this.
The normal abnormal childhood.
So in February of 1876, he left Mount Pleasant, Ohio to pursue, quote, fame and fortune in the West. Apparently he was bored with where he lived and he wanted to go off on a venture and find something that was more exciting. So while he's traveling, he decided to get a new line of work. So he landed in Iowa. And he was hired at the Iowa Lunatic Asylum.
Wow.
Of course, this is 1800s. We don't say that anymore.
That's right.
We have to, you know, obviously with the times, that's what it was. And his job was to dig graves and bury the bodies of deceased patients.
Oh, wow.
And so this is where he came in contact with deceased people quite frequently, and to the point of it was a job, you know, oh, not another one, and began to view people
in a different way, bodies,
or with less empathy, and kind of lost that
human connection.
Yeah, so that is the only thing that I can think of that was like, oh, okay, well, people are disposable, you know, oh, another one. And he may have seen some things at the lunatic asylum. I know practices weren't exactly great. I mean, he could have seen abuse. He could have seen, anyway, no telling what he had actually saw. But he did say in later interviews, like, that's where he just began to view people as like hogs, like meat.
Wow. Okay.
So, and he left in October of 1876. So he was only there for a few months.
Huh.
And then continued to drift around like the Midwest and then and started hanging out with train robbers again.
Okay.
He just kind of wanted to do his own thing and not have any rules. And just now he just didn't care, I guess.
Yes, that's what it sounds like. Rebel.
So eventually he lands in Kearney, Nebraska. So he was actually there for 2 whole weeks and then committed his first murder.
So no murder that we know of up to that point?
No murder until after having the job at the asylum and then traveling further. So he will go on to have a total body count of 9 that we know of.
Okay.
And he holds titles as Nebraska's first documented serial killer, and he was the first to be executed in the state. Sounds like a a good guy, huh?
Right. I'm just in my mind thinking, going back into his... He had siblings, I guess.
He had siblings. He had a lot of them, actually.
He must not have stayed in contact or been close, or... I don't know. If you grow up, you have compassion, and...
Well, he had friends. I mean, he attended dances. They didn't say anything about being socially awkward. He had 5 sisters and 1 brother.
Okay.
And did he
have 5 sisters?
Compassion. 5 sisters.
So I'll find out who he killed. Like, did he kill women or men or?
Well, so basically his MO was, if you tick me off.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't.
Well, there's a complication that is different from his MO.
I will wait patiently.
Yeah.
I just didn't know with 5 sisters, you know?
Yeah, 5 sisters. So he leaves the asylum and continues on. So he's doing, you know, odd jobs, this, that, and the other. And he's somehow acquired a horse, and he's just traveling. And
he probably stole it from somebody.
I mean, he could have. Who knows? He acquired a horse. The story starts, so he's on horseback. And it could have been his from his farm, and that's how he got around. Who knows? But he's, you know, traveling on horseback, and he runs into another guy that's on horseback. And again, it's the 1800s, and they're like, you know, hey, how you doing? How you doing? Going this way. Hey, me too. I'm assuming that's how the conversation went. So they decided to camp together. It's like, well, we're out here, you know, we got to stop traveling. The horse needs, you know, water. We got to rest. Let's just, you know, play some cards. So they light up a fire. Probably were doing the drinking. It's the Old West, gambling, playing cards. Somehow they started betting, and Richards ends up taking most of this stranger's guy's money. Like, he's winning and he's taking his money.
Okay.
And then it becomes a point where it's not cool anymore. And the guy's like, hey, this is not cool. You're not winning this through honorable means. Or like, maybe he cheated. Who knows? Maybe he had aces in his pocket. I don't know. They could have a fight. And then they're like, we'll just deal with it in the morning. Then they go to sleep. I wouldn't go to sleep. I would leave. So the next morning, they're off going on their own merry way.
He survived the night.
He survived the night.
Oh, okay.
But then the guy goes back, and he's like, look, it really wasn't funny. I'm over it. Give me back my money.
Yes.
And he wanted to fight. He's like, come on, I'll fight you for it. And then Richards was like, yeah, I'm not going to fight you, and just shoots him in the head.
Whoa. That's cold.
He was provoked, so to speak. If the guy wouldn't have been like, give me my money back, he probably would have just went on his merry way.
Right.
But again, I guess he felt like he deserved his money back.
Sounds like road rage in this day and time.
Yeah, well, whatever you call it back in the old West.
How many horses you got?
So yeah, so he shoots him in the head and drags him down a hill and throws him in the river.
Oh, wow.
So now he's got 2 horses. He's got the horses on, he's got this guy's horse.
And the guy's money.
So he goes to town and switches out horses, I guess, so no one can say, hey, I saw you with the brown horse. Now you're on the black horse or whatever.
Right.
Kind of swapping the stolen vehicle. And then a couple of days later, he runs into a guy that's on foot. And he's like, hey, you were with that dude the other day. I saw you. Like, y'all were playing cards. And he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I ain't seen nobody. And he's like, yeah, John or whatever his name was. And he's like, no. And then he just would not give up. Turns out he was friends with that guy, so he knew him, and he wanted to know what happened.
Yes.
And so he starts getting nervous, and he's like, well, hey, fine. I'll take you to where we went. So he hops on his extra horse, and as soon as they're out of town, he gets shot. Yeah, because he didn't want him to to cover his tracks.
Yeah, the bodies were piling
up. So that was self-preservation, as he calls it. He didn't want to be found out. He didn't want to get caught. So then he digs a hole and buries that guy. And then just moseys on down to his friend's house as if it was nothing. So that's 2. So we have 2 body count. So he goes to a house by the name of Jasper Harlson. Remember that name. He's a train robber. Apparently he's in jail right now, and there's some things going on with his wife had helped bust him out. Not good people, but he ends up making a joke or something. Mary, the wife, notices blood on his shirt. I mean, because he just did kill these people or whatever. And he jokes, and he's like, oh, yeah, it just come from the man I murdered.
Oh, wow.
Ha, 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 ha. And then, like, it was taken as a joke. Nothing else was said about it.
Right.
But, I mean, he was being 100% serious.
Yes.
That's what happened. And so from there, he travels to Cedar Rapids, Iowa. And so he had friends that did the counterfeit money thing where he would stash some and send some on, where he was kind of like the middle person. Well, he had worked up his own little stash. So he goes to this gentleman to buy a horse and buggy and pays with the counterfeit cash. And so he's on his merry way. And then the guy realizes that he's been duped, that this cash isn't real. And now he wants his money back. And so Wild West, what do? You go find the guy. So he tracked him down and demanded that he either give him real money or give me back my horse and buggy.
Right.
And the guy's like, no, not doing
and
it.
And then he shoots him.
And he shoots him.
Oh, my word.
So basically, you take this guy off, he's going to shoot you.
Oh, my gracious.
So he just shoots him and buries the bodies. Yeah. Is that rain?
I think it is rain.
Oh, my gosh, that's rain. Torrential downpour, it sounds like.
Maybe so.
Walking to the car is going to be fun. Oh, she's actually checking if there's rain. It's rain.
It is rain.
Pouring down rain.
So he shoots.
So he shoots him, yeah. So now that's what, number three? We're on number three. So now we're on number four.
And this is all in like a short period of time.
Yeah, a short period of time. This is like within 2 years.
Okay.
So March 1877, Richards is traveling with a buddy. His last name is Gimji. And they're camping and they go to sleep. Well, he wakes up and it's 3:00 in the morning. And he decides, well, now would be a good time to go ahead and leave to make some good traveling time in the cooler morning. I mean, I get that. Yeah. You wake up early and just go ahead and go wherever they were heading. So he wakes the other guy up. And the other guy's mad.
That he woke him up?
Yes. He thinks it's midnight and it's not 3:00 in the morning and he really wants to go back to sleep.
Oh, wow.
And so they argue about it.
Oh,
and
no, don't tell me what happened.
And the guy's like, no, it's midnight. I don't care if you have a watch. It's wrong. It's broken. Like, we're going back to bed. I'm not leaving yet. And he's like, well, I have something that says, he's like, calling me a liar. I'm not a liar. And boom, he shoots him in the head.
What? This is number four.
This is number four.
Okay. Gracious.
And so while leaving the area, he actually gets arrested for murdering someone. And murder.
Oh, no.
So he gets they let him go because he didn't murder that person because he was too busy murdering everybody else.
Oh, my word. So this is crazy.
Yes. And it gets even crazier. And this is what I'm talking about, what you asked me earlier. So this next part is actually out of his norm, where I think he started to, the term is devolve, I think.
Uh-huh. Or decompensate.
Well, I think it's devolve. Like, he's not evolving into a smarter person, is just devolving, I think.
Okay.
Anyway, in criminal minds, that's the term I think they use for it.
Oh, okay.
But this is very different, and this involves not just people who made him angry, it's just everyone in a household. So we'll talk about that in a second.
All right. So we're just talking about Stephen Richards?
Yes. Okay. Points for remembering the name. Yeah, Stephen D. Richards. So our body count is up to 4. And most of his MO has just been like getting an argument. You make me mad, I'll just shoot you in the head.
Modern day road rage, bar fight. Yeah. So, question. You said the girl. Do we talk about her later?
We do. Okay. Not the Anna or Ann one that he was engaged to in
at 20.
Yes. Remember when he stopped on the way. After killing the first two, he stopped by this train robber's house named Jasper.
With the wife.
With the wife who made the joke about the blood on his shirt. So he ends up going back to that house.
Okay.
Because he's an acquaintance of Jasper. And so he gets in touch with... So he did a little time in jail for larceny. And then he got back in touch with this Mary Harrelson, who was Jasper's wife, the one who made the comment about the shirt. And, of course, she was in trouble for helping her husband escape. Like I told you, all these people are shady anyway.
Yes.
But somehow they worked out an agreement that she's going to sell him the deed to her property 6 months later for, like, $600. And so she must have had a sizable farm with animals and crops or whatever, what have you. And so that was a good deal for him.
But what was she getting returned?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. Because I'm thinking there's...
Well, some kind of business dealings. So she transferred the property to him upon his arrival. And he actually stayed there for several weeks. And like a month later, I don't know why, he also described her as like a free talker, a lady who just talked too much. Hmm. But I think they had a relationship going on because the guy wasn't... Jasper was away or in jail and he kind of like hung out with the kids. And
Okay.
Like, he was the man of the house for a little bit. But they were getting ready to plan a trip somewhere, and she was getting everything ready, but it was in November. I guess she was going to visit family for Christmas or something.
Is she young or older, or we don't know?
I don't know.
Okay.
She does have three children. So she has a 10-year-old named Daisy, a 4-year-old named Mabel, and a 2-year-old named Jasper Jr., obviously. They called him Jesse. But in November 3rd of 1878, he got up really early in the morning, and he had another man with him that had been staying at the house, his friend, traveling companion, whatever. The guy went to feed the horses and do other chores on the farm. Richards went, dug a hole. We know where this is going.
Oh, my word.
Yeah, he went ahead and dug a hole and then sneaked back into the house, and he used an axe, and he murdered Mary, Daisy, Mabel, and Jasper.
Oh, no.
Why? Not with a gun, with an axe, and beat them until they were dead.
What? Something switched in his brain. Pure evil.
Snapped. Even more so. Or devolved, like I'm saying.
Sorry. Something was wrong in his childhood that we don't know about. That is messed up.
So there was a claim that Richards killed Jasper by bashing his head against the wall, but...
Wait, the baby?
Yeah.
Aww.
He said... He was quoted as saying he killed the family while they were asleep. However, they're all sleeping in the same bed. If one of these people, I mean, kid is going to scream. A kid is going to wake up. The mom is going to do whatever she can. So I doubt it was a peaceful, you're asleep, I'm going to bash your head in kind of thing.
Did he say why?
Because she suspected him of killing other people, and he didn't want to get ratted out.
But that was, while back, she didn't say anything about it why would she care? She broke her husband out of jail.
She's a free talker. And I use that in quotes. She's a free talker. She talked too much.
Okay. But the children.
And this was supposed to be his friend's family. He was stepping in for this guy. And afterwards,
How about the guy that had to feed the animals?
He scrubbed the blood off the floor, cleaned himself up, sat down to breakfast. Then after he ate, he carried the bodies down and buried them in the hole.
Wow. Very sad.
Yep. Craziness. So that was in November 3rd. So the bodies were not found until December 11th.
Okay.
So they were covered up with blankets and straw, buried in the barn or out back or wherever. But December 9th, so now they have not found this is where they have not found the bodies yet. So that was 5, 6, 7, and 8 was the murder of the entire family. So on December 9th, he was at his neighbor's house and helping his neighbor, Peter. He was doing some odd jobs for him or working for him and somehow cooked him a meal.
Is this the neighbor maybe next to Mary's farm?
I think so, because he acquired the farm. It was supposed to be his place or whatever, so he was helping the neighbor. He was helping the neighbor and apparently cooked a meal, and the guy, Peter, ate it, but then he got sick. So then the guy accused him of poisoning.
Oh, no.
It could have just been anything. And we're 1800s, plague, germs went rampant, whatever. But he accused Richards of trying to poison him. And he was like, did no such thing, but I'll just bludgeon you to death. So instead of shooting him, he actually beat this guy senseless.
Wow, he has some anger management.
Yes. So then
there's so much to this man.
He puts him in the cellar. Yeah, beat him to death with a hammer. And then puts him in the cellar. And then decides that it was time to get out of town. So then he leaves. Okay. He's on the run. Yeah, that's crazy. So then the bodies of Mary and her kids were found on December 11th. So just 2 days after that.
He leaves town? Or after he kills
after
the
murder
man?
Of Peter, yeah.
Okay.
So he kills Peter, and then 2 days later, the bodies of all them are found, and that's the neighbor.
Maybe they finally said, hey, this family may not have left. This is odd. And whatever happened to Jasper, the husband? Don't know. Maybe he was in jail.
I haven't.
Or maybe they started inquiring about the family that lived there.
No. So while he's on the run, so he murders his neighbor, and then he knows that the bodies are going to be found soon, because obviously it's been more than a month. Like, he knows something's going to be up with that. So he decides to hitch up his neighbor's horse and leave. Some of the neighbors arrive, and they're like, hey, we noticed he hasn't been around. Where has he been? And he's like, oh, I don't know. And they said, well, we're going to wait for him. So they decided to wait at his house for this neighbor to come back, who's never coming back because he's in the cellar. So then he gives them the keys and he's like, well, you can wait around, but I'm not. Like, I got to go. So he goes. So he fleds on horseback and ends up going through Omaha, Chicago. So while on the run, he meets back up with Jasper.
Okay.
Who was also on the run. Because he's an escaped prisoner. Yes. So Marion helped him out. So he's on the run. And he's like, hey, man, what's up? Don't tell him, like, by the way, I just murdered your whole entire family.
Yes.
So they're just hanging out together. Passing through two little outlaw, no good doers.
I'm trying to think of a nice word.
So then they, Nebraska governor issued a arrest warrant for Richards on December 16th. So he was caught on December 20th. And this was after he arrived back in Mount Pleasant. He went to a ballroom dance accompanied by two women.
Oh, my gracious.
And so copies of the wanted poster were actually through the town and, like, at the place where they were dancing. So he kind of, like, needs him out of the ballroom area. And he is caught walking through a field with the two women. But the only reason he was apprehended was because he had two women with him. He was said that if I hadn't had the two girls with me, he would have shot the guy. Like, where does your come to play now after you done killed an entire family? You know, like, wouldn't you just kill all three and move on to the next?
I mean, why did it matter?
But because he said if the woman had left, he would have avoided arrest because he would have shot the guy.
Oh, my gracious.
Craziness.
So he was 23.
He was 23 when he was, obviously, he got the death penalty. They executed him. He pled not guilty, stating that almost every killing was in self-defense. I mean,
not the babies, and
not
the sleeping
not
mother.
The woman. And I think that's the only thing that got everybody in the uproar was like, it's the Wild Wild West, whatever. People, guys shoot guys all the time, bar fights, whatever. But to kill an entire family for no reason.
And then the neighbor for no, I mean.
What about the guy who just got woken up too early? Like,
exactly.
Really?
He didn't do anything.
Or the guy that just wanted his horse and buggy back.
Because he got counterfeit money. Something was off with him long before the asylum that he buried people. Something wasn't quite right.
Well, of course, like every story, it goes on that he, you know, found the Lord or whatever. He still said he was not guilty. But then, like, at execution, he, like, laughed before they dropped the thing. So, we know where he ended up, anyway.
He's evil. And you said how old he was when he got executed?
23.
Okay.
Of course, local doctors wanted to round him up and wanted to do an autopsy.
And see about his brain?
Of course. But he was buried in Minden, and his gravesite was actually guarded, but his corpse was stolen.
Huh.
The night after his execution. But then they suspected that the doctors who wanted to examine him took him back, but was returned to his resting place shortly thereafter. See, they didn't even want him when he was dead.
Wow.
But then it actually got dug up again, and then his bones were scattered on the streets of Curry.
Because people were mad at what he did?
I guess. I don't know. Then the Kearney County Gazette obtained his skull and placed it on display in the newspaper's office window.
That sounds like that house where people were taking, like, tickets to come in and see the last story we did.
Yeah, the Lawsons.
Yes.
This was the last reported mention of his skull. Its present location and status is unknown.
Hopefully gotten rid of.
Yeah.
Years. I mean, that's sick. So.
But when I was listening to it in the background on another podcast, and of course we'll link the Wikipedia page and everything else of all my sources. But yeah, there's pictures.
Okay.
It just got me when it was like, oh, he worked at the insane asylum digging up graves, and I was like, well, that's probably what happened to him. But I
don't know, man. I think he was something wasn't quite right before that. something started younger than that. I don't know. It'd be interesting to.
That picture is after his execution. So.
Oh wow, lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. I don't know what to think. I mean, it's hard to tell from somebody who's not alive. That's him.
That's a sketch.
Like a sketch. Was that his wanted poster?
I guess. I don't know.
He had nice hair.
No, that was the full confession of a murderer of nine persons printed in pastry. That was like one of the interviews he did. I guess they did a sketch.
Wow.
But he was executed on April 26, 1789.
Well, I know that girl from high school was glad he left.
That Anne.
Yeah. That sounds crazy.
But even after he was convicted, she kept correspondence with him in jail and letters and stuff up until his execution.
That I never understand. But
well, I mean,
do
even
it.
Now people still love letters to
they get married
wherever.
Yes, I do not understand.
I do not either. But so that was Stephen D. Richards. Thank you so much for listening to another episode.
Thank you.
We took it way back.
Our rain event.
Yeah, and our downpour rain, which has stopped, which is nice.
Yes,
because now it's time to go. Thank you for listening, and I'll link everything up in the show notes of this. You can always email us at oldtimecrimegals@gmail.com for suggestions, concerns, comments, questions, anything. We're up for it. And just remember,
if you do the crime, it's going to catch up with you in time.
And we'll talk about it.